This is Charlottesville Tomorrow. Charlottesville Tomorrow is a nonprofit organization engaging the public on critical quality of life issues so we make informed choices for our community's future. Visit us on the web at seavilletomorrow.org. On November 3, 2015, voters in the Samuel Miller Magisterial District go to the polls to elect their representative on the Albemarle County School Board. This recording is Brian Wheeler's September 4, 2015 interview with Brian Vanio. Other candidates in this open seat race include Michael Basile and Graham Page. Mr. Vanio, thank you for participating in this interview with Charlottesville Tomorrow. The complete audio recording and written transcript for this interview will be available online. Information from this interview will be used in the compilation of the Nonpartisan Voter Guide being co-produced by Charlottesville Tomorrow, The Daily Progress, and the League of Women Voters. Charlottesville Tomorrow does not endorse any candidates, and our goal is to provide information to the public so they can make an informed vote on issues primarily related to land use, transportation, public education, and community design. As you are aware, the first two questions you will be asked have been provided in advance. For the others, you have been provided only the topic in advance. All Albemarle School Board candidates will be asked the same questions. We ask that you keep these questions confidential until all candidates have been interviewed. Each candidate will be provided an opportunity to review the excerpts selected for the voter guide before its publication. Are you ready to start?
Yes, I am.
Question number one. Please describe your past experience that qualifies you to be on the Albemarle County School Board.
Well, I think I have a number of experiences that I'm fortunate to have had that I think qualify me for this position. First of all, I have a pretty diverse academic background. I'm a graduate of the United States Naval Academy, the U.S. Naval War College, and UVA Law School. I also served in the Navy for 9 years, deploying to Afghanistan and Iraq during that time. I currently work at the Defense Intelligence Agency, where right now I'm part of an effort to improve how intelligence supports acquisition programs amid increasing demands and declining financial resources. So I think there are a lot of parallels there with the challenges that face the school board today. I've written a book about our political and constitutional history. I serve on the board of a small nonprofit educational organization that works to educate others, mainly children and young adults, about the importance of the Constitution. Probably most importantly, I have the wonderful experience of being a husband and father of three girls, two of whom are of school age and are in the county public school system. So, I mean, I think all of these experiences really have helped shape who I am, and I think I would probably bring kind of a unique perspective to the school board. Above all, I don't think there's any single experience that, you know, I can say is, you know, would most qualify me for the board, but I think together my demonstrated commitment, I guess, to public service and learning about issues that concern the public probably prepare me the most for this. And, you know, I certainly have a concern for the future and the direction in which our country is going. And I know that public education plays a major role in shaping that future, so I certainly would like to be a part of it.
Question number two. What is your top priority for action by the school board during the next 4 years?
Well, I would like to see the school board improve its communication with residents about some of the program initiatives that are going on in the schools, and also to help provide a little more insight about the reasoning behind some of the decisions that are made with regard to the budget. I know that a lot of parents, you know, simply don't have time to follow all of the school board meetings and the budget deliberations that go on. And the school board's website does provide a lot of good information, but I think that can be improved, certainly because the school board is entrusted with the majority of the county's tax revenue, and so the board should make every effort to inform residents how and why that money is being spent. And I think that with more disclosure and communication, parents and residents can be better informed about what's going on in the school district, and it might encourage a lot more involvement, and so that's something that I think the board ought to encourage and improve upon.
Question number three. Business leaders and social service agencies have told local government that new investments are sorely needed in the area of early childhood education. Will you make pre-K education and quality child care a priority, and if so, how?
Well, this is one area where I think I respectfully disagree with the business leaders and social service agencies who believe this, because I've read a number of reports, and certainly the most comprehensive study of pre-K education was the Head Start impact study that was done I think it was 2010 or 2011, which shows that pre-K education really has no lasting effect on educational achievement for those students who go to preschool. And I've also heard a number of people say that even if there are no lasting educational benefits, there are social benefits, and that it reduces, there are correlations between preschool education and lower incidences of crime. But that same study doesn't show that. And this is, again, one of the most comprehensive studies ever conducted on preschool education. I think there is a much greater impact on educational achievement and social and behavior effects. The greater correlation is family dynamics. I've seen studies that show single parent households the children of single parent households are more prone to lower academic scores and more prone to crime, just because there isn't that level of bonding between the child and the mother that typically exists with a two-parent household. So I think on this issue, I would not make pre-K education a priority. I think it should be available for those who want it, but I would not seek to expand it.
Question number four. School officials have said that graduating students who are literate with technology will benefit the entire community, but many students have said that their teachers often lack the expertise or training to use the technology, and they don't want their teachers replaced by computers. Please describe the role you think technology should play in the classroom.
Well, I agree that technology, it's important for students to learn about technology and become familiar with it, because we are living in an age where computers are, they're so present in our lives. And I also agree with the point that teachers should not be replaced by online courses, because there just haven't really been enough studies to determine, what's the real benefit of that kind of education. I do think online learning can be a good tool to have in the classroom, because it allows students to learn more at their own pace, and so it can assist instruction in that regard. And I think we ought to welcome opportunities to bring technology into the classroom for that use. But certainly there is no replacement for a teacher, and I think that technology is simply just an aid that can be used to the benefit of student learning.
Speaking of teachers, question number five. Are we recruiting the best teachers, measuring their performance effectively, and paying competitive salaries, and how do we know?
Well, I think we are recruiting the best teachers. I think we know I think we do also have competitive salaries. I've seen some reports that say that the pay of Albemarle County teachers is in the top 10% in the state. And I think we know that we're getting good teachers also because of the student scores. The achievement level is much higher than state averages. So I think those are ways that we can determine if we are getting good teachers, and I think we are. How we measure their performance, I think I would defer to the administrators to make those decisions. But I know that we should not be tying teacher performance to standardized test results, because I've seen a lot of reports that show there is really no correlation between standardized testing and how teachers perform. And so I certainly would oppose that kind of performance, but in general, I would defer to the administration on that.
Question number six. Why do you think we have persistent achievement gaps, and what's the single most important thing you will do to close the gap?
Again, going back to some studies that I've read about, the performance gaps seem to be driven primarily by family dynamics, and that that accounts for, you know, race, income. It seems like the biggest determinant of academic performance is whether or not parents have a stable family environment in which their kids can grow, and whether they are involved in their child's learning. I don't think there are a whole lot of ways that schools can impact that, but I think educating maybe some of the older students as they grow to show them some of these studies and the impact that family can have on future generations is important. So I think I would encourage that kind of education in the schools.
Question number seven. Describe a part of the school division that would benefit from increased cooperation by the city, county, and or the University of Virginia, and that you would make a priority.
Well, I know that UVA has done a lot of good work with STEM cooperation with the schools, and I think that is a I know that my daughter participated in an event that was hosted by UVA STEM for girls, and I think exposing children to those kinds of opportunities in science, technology, engineering, and math ought to be improved, and we all look for opportunities to increase the exposure to those fields. So that's how I would seek to expand those kinds of relationships.
Question number eight. Do you support the strategic plan of the Charlottesville Albemarle Technical Education Center? And a follow-up, should KTEC build a new facility at Piedmont Virginia Community College?
I do support the strategic plan of KTEC. I think that it does offer a lot of great courses to help facilitate technical learning for jobs and industries in this area that are in high demand. And I know that the new, I guess, the health and medicine and the IT academies that KTEC is pushing toward are good initiatives, and I've also seen reports that they don't overlap in the instruction that is taking place in Monticello and Albemarle High Schools with those academies. So I think that the strategic plan is a good one, and I would probably wait on my decision to build a new facility at Piedmont, because I know that those academies at KTEC are relatively new, and I think people want to see just how what the outcome is and what the effect is on academic achievement.
Question number nine. Would you support a budget initiative to expand world language instruction in the elementary schools?
I think I would. I've also seen a lot of studies, and I know that I've seen a lot of studies about the impact, the positive impact that languages have on academics and a child's learning ability. My daughter is actually, she's in at KL Elementary, and she's in the two-way immersion program, so we get to see firsthand how that works. And I think it's so far it's been a positive experience for her, and we're excited that she gets this opportunity. And I know that especially in some of our areas in Albemarle County, that there are a lot of ESL students, you know, English as a second language students. And so when we have that dynamic, it seems to make sense that we ought to leverage these two-way immersion programs to not just help, you know, some of the English speakers, but also to make it easier for those ESL students to acquire the skills they need to learn English as well.
And the last question, number 10, name one specific area of the school budget that you are concerned about and tell us why.
Well, I think I'll answer this by saying all of the above, because I know that the Albemarle County School Board has faced a lot of significant budget challenges in the last, 7 years, going back to 2008, when the budgets have seriously declined. And I've looked at the budgets going back to, I think, 2006. And if you adjust the budgets for the rate of inflation, the budgets have basically flatlined over the last 8 or 9 years, while student enrollment has increased by about 800 students. And so that presents significant challenges for the administration and for the school board to try and manage, you know, that increase in students with the same amount of money effectively. So I think every part of the budget would just have to be scrutinized to ensure that the programs that we have in place have a direct effect on academic performance.
Brian Vanu, thank you for participating in this interview with Charlotte Hildemar.
Thank you.